Today shares Masechta Sukkah Daf Lamed Dalet. We will begin on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. We've spoken about the Lulav, we've spoken about the Hadassim, and now the Mishnah begins to speak about the Aravos. Teaches us the Mishnah Arava Gezulav Yevesha, an Arava that was stolen, or a Arava that is dried out, the Loch is Posel. And as the Rishonim point out, what does the Mishnah have to teach us this din again? We've already learned so many times in our Masechta that Gzula and Yevesha are Pasul. So as the Rishonim point out, that even though the Arava points out the Kabbas Tamarim is a very inexpensive, not very significant one of the Minim, and therefore, we would think that by the Arava, these disqualifications don't apply. It doesn't have tam, it doesn't have reich. People aren't so specific about the Aravas. And maybe therefore, Arava Gzul Vivesha should not be possible. Teaches us the Mishnah that the Arava Gzula, that the Arava that's stolen, Arava Gzul Vivesha, is also possible. Shalashera, if the Arava comes from an Asherah tree, or the Ir Nidachas, or if the Arava comes from an Ir Nidachas, that Arava is also Pasul, just like it is by a Lulav and Hadassah. And the reason is, as we learned, Ketusei Mechta Shiri, the Halacha looks at it as if it doesn't have a Shir, and therefore, since it doesn't have a Shir, it's not qualified. So if we just explained that Aravas are typically inexpensive, they're not that serious, so I saw that the Paiskim discuss if somebody has a field and he has Aravas growing in his field, am I allowed to go and pick Aravas from his field? He doesn't care if people take Aravas from his field, and will, if I take that Arava without having received express permission, what would be the halacha? So sort of the Sefer Chashuki Chemet, quoting the Kabbas Tamarim that we just mentioned, that the Kabbas Tamarim says that the Mishnah went out of its way to teach us that a Rava Gzula is possible, even though, as we just learned, it's insignificant, to teach us that the only time you could be yotze with the mitzvahs arava is if the owner gave you permission. If your owner gave you permission to use those aravas, and without direct permission, even though he doesn't care, one should certainly not lechatchila use such aravas. And therefore, it's important when one is purchasing aravas, he should make sure that the aravas he's purchasing are from people who own the fields, who got permission from the field, from the owner of the fields, where those aravas grew, to take those aravas. The Shal Tshuvas Machs Avram Simon Kuf Membeis asks, if somebody has a field in Eretz Yisrael where the Esroigim or the other Dalaminim grow there, we know, he says, that the Esroel was Neschalkel Shvatim. Every part of Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst the Shvatim. This that the Eretz Yisrael now is in the hands of Arabs is Bigzela B'yadam. They didn't really buy it. They went to war and they chased us out of Eretz Yisrael. And the question therefore is, if somebody buys one of the Dalminim, as we keep on repeating, the halacha is that if you buy any of the Dalminim when they are Gzula, you're not Yotz the Mitzvah. So why is it considered, if you bought it from Arab property, why is it not considered Gzula, that it should be Osir? So the Machs Avram takes a very interesting approach. He says that since we don't unfortunately have control over those property, and there's also a klal, there's a rule of nichalei le'inish, the levin metzmim m'mayne. I'm certainly very comfortable that somebody should use something that I own in order to fulfill a mitzvah. So we, Klal Yisrael, really should have shares in all of Eretz Yisrael. But unfortunately, until Mashiach comes, it's not in our hands. So at least we're satisfied that people should use the Sroigim Lulavim to be Makayim a mitzvah. Rabbi Yashiv, it really goes back to something that we discussed at the beginning of the Perek. Rabbi Yashiv takes a different approach. He says that since we learned at the beginning of Masechta, that if there's Yush Bailim, if the Bailim gave up hope, and the Shini Rishus, it went from their Rishus into the hands of someone else. And we also learned particularly if it was cut by Akum. When we combine all of those considerations, says Rabbi Yashiv, Apidin, those properties are considered the property of the Akum. And therefore, if somebody uses those Dalaminim, it's not considered that it's Gozel. Nikdem Roisha, if the tap of the Arava was cut off, and the Rosh makes the point to say that when the Mishnah speaks about Nikdem Roisha by the Arava, it speaks about the wood, the stem that goes right up from top to bottom of the Arava. Because he explains that the leaves of the Arava grow on the side of the stem. And therefore, since they grow on the side of the stem, when the Mishnah speaks about Nikdem Roishoi, it's certainly not referring to the leaves that are on the side, or Nishu Alel, if the leaves of the Arava fell off. The Tziftzifa, we're going to speak about the Tziftzifa. It's a type of an Arava, but it's not exactly the Arava. Tziftzifa, all of these are possible to be considered a kosher Arava. Kamusha, you have an Arava that's starting to wither, but it hasn't withered yet. The Shinishu Mixalel, was just some of the leaves fell off. Shabal, it's a feed that doesn't need to be watered. It survives on rainwater. All of these Aravas are kosher. So the reason that the Kamusha, I saw the Rishonim explain, is kosher, because even though the Arava who is lost the leaves we just saw is pasul, but as long as the leaves are still there, even though they're starting to wither away, it's still considered a kosher Arava. Begins the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Arve Nachal. The Torah, when it speaks about the Aravas, says Arve Nachal. From here we learn Sha'olam al Nachal. The definition of Arve Nachal is something that grows by the river. In other words, an Arava should be something that grows by the river. Davar Acher, Arve Nachal, Shalosh Lamoshuch Kenachal. That the leaves are straight and long, not round. So we have here two different versions of what we learn from Arve Nachal. So the first version is that Arve Nachal should be what grows by a river. But the halacha, since Rashi Devarei Maskil Arve explains, since the Torah uses the word Arve, Aloshin Rabim, from here we learn that if they didn't grow by the river, the Aravis would still be kosher Aravis. That's what the first Loshin learns. According to the second Loshin, that Arve Nachal teaches us that all Aravis are kosher. And according to that version, using Aravis that didn't grow on a Nachal, a kosher lechatchila. It's not that we need a special limud to teach us that you may use them. The kosher lechatchila. And that's going to be the difference between the Lashon Rishon and the Lashon Sheni. According to first Lashon, you should lechatchila look for those Aravis that grow by the river. And if you can't find them, you took different Aravis that kosher. According to the second Lashon, you could take Aravis that didn't grow by the river, lechatchila. And the Rosh says, Shloi Reisi l'Rabbosai, I never saw that my Rebbe's Shoyim Mitzuvim L'Havi Arva Agdel Al HaNachal, that ever looked for Aravis that grew by the Nachal. I, according to the first version of the way the Gemara is learning, according to Rashi's interpretation, it is lechatchila we should take Aravis that grow by the Nachal. So they explain that the Rosh means to say that if you have Aravis, that this is the type of Arava that grows typically by the river. But the Arava you have It's the exact same arava, and just didn't grow by the river. That's called Arve Nachal. What Rashi means to say when he says that you're allowed to use aravas that don't grow by the river, Rashi means to say that the type of aravas that grew by the river and the type of aravas that grew not by the river were not exactly the same. So that's when there's a l'chatchila to use aravas that grow by the river. But if the type of arava that you're using is identical, if it grows by the river or it grows not by the river, then says the Rosh, everybody would agree that l'chatchili could use such aravas, even though the actual arava that you're using did not grow by the river. Tanya, idach, arvi nachal, enli ela arvi nachal, that grow by the river, shabal v'shal horim, that grow by the mountains, that grow by a place that doesn't need rain, it grows from the water that doesn't need watering, that grows from the rain, shalharim, but they grow on the mountain. And again, there's rain that accumulates on the mountains. Tamaloimer, arve nachal, mikomokim. Any type of arava is kosher. Abishalimer, arve, he says the reason the Torah uses the Lashon Rabbim of arve is to teach us achas lulav. We're supposed to take the arovas in the lulav, v'achas l'migdosh, and then we took another arova that the minig was that they put arovas around the mizbeach in the beis hamigdosh during sukkahs, and then of course on Hashanah Rabbah. Rabbanon, but according to Rabbanon that used the word arve for teach us what type of arovas may be used l'migdosh menalahu. From where did Rabbanon know the halacha of arovas that were brought for the shanis around the mizbeach? Answers the Gemara. They learn it from Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, not from a Pasuk. Dom Rav Asi, Om Rav Yochanan. Esen Atiyas. You know, as Shemitah comes, there's a din midaraisa, as the Mishnah teaches us in Masech Teshvius, Perek Aleph, Perek Vav. The Pasuk says, B'chorosh u'b'kotze tishbois. So we learn from that, L'lamed, Shechorosh shal erev Shvius, Hanichtes l'Shvius. Anything that's planted or worked on 30 days before Rosh Hashanah is Asur. And the halacha is that different fields would have different rules. That means, even though Midrash it starts 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, the Chachamim extended and began it earlier. And they said that a state four, a field that grows grain, is already usher to work on from Pesach. A field that grows trees is that you may now work on that field from Shavuos and on. What is considered stay Elon if it has three trees in an area of base saw? So since it's a very large area and it's very few trees, the trees get enough nourishment from the ground, and therefore from Shavuos, you're not allowed to work on that field. However, if you have 10 young saplings in a small area of 50 by 50 amma, those trees so desperately need still work on. If you won't work with those trees, they will dry up. And the halacha is that you could continue working with those trees until Rosh Hashanah. Arava, this that we've been discussing now, that they put the aravas around the mizbeach, nisach hamayim, that they poured water on the Mizbeach during Sukkot, all halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. And even though the halacha of Nisach HaMayim we're going to learn is learned from an extra mem, yud mem, that the Pasuk uses by the Kabbonis of Sukkot, that only teaches us that there's a mitzvah to do Nisach HaMayim and Sukkot. But it doesn't tell us on which days of Sukkot do we do Nisach HaMayim. The Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai teaches us that Nisach HaMayim was done every day of Yom Tov. Tana Abonon, Arve Nachal, Hagdel Sa Nachal, what is kosher to be Arve Nachal are those that grow on the Nachal. Praft L'Tziftzifa, there's something which looks like Aravis, but they're not. It's called the Tziftzifa Hagdela. Better Horim, it grows on the mountains and may not be used as an arava. Omrab Zera, my craw. Where do we learn this from? A pasuk says the Mara. The pasuk says that the chacha, Musar that Yechezkel is giving, Kach amayim rabim tziftzus v'moy. What grows by water is called a tziftzufa, and it's not to be considered a valid arava. So I saw that Rabbi Saul Salanter explains this Gemara based on a Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah. The Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah says, Ashrei zorei kamayim mishalchei regel shor v'chamor. Says Rav Salanta that the Masechta is teaching us that even those that just support those that learn Torah will have schus and will be protected from the Yetzer Hara because they act that way. And that's what the Pasuk here is coming to teach us. Those who are similar to the Rava, that they don't learn Torah themselves, but they're kach amayim rabim, that they support those that learn Torah, Torah is compared to mayim rabim, will be zoicha to gvald geschar. And that's what the Gemara means. It says, Ashrei zoira komayim, even the people who work on the field and plant and water will be zoicha to gvald gebrocha if they are supportive of Talmid Chachamim. The Ben Yehuda explains that the pasuk means to say that even though these people didn't learn Torah themselves, but they have schus avos, and we know that the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Esa einai el ahorim, el tikri el ahorim, el ahorim." People that look up and follow in the way of their forefathers, and therefore are able to live off the schus of their avos. Kach amayim, those are the people that will be zoicha. Another pshat is, what the Gemara means to say, is that the tziftzufa is a rava whose leaves have grooves on them. And it comes to speak about that rava looks like the tongue. And we know, says the Ben Yehuda, that we have to use and watch our tongues to speak only what we're allowed to speak, divrei Torah, not chas v'shalom speak lashon hara. So that's what the Gemara means to say. If it's like an arava whose leaves are smooth, such an arava is a kashan arava. But an arava that looks like a tziftzufa, whose leaves have grooves, the tongue is not a proper tongue, it's possible for the dal minim. Another pshat is that the Gra explains in Dalel El Yahu that even if you have people who are not Talmid Chachamim, but they connect themselves to the Talmid Chachamim. And by observing and watching what the Talmid Chachamim do, they know how to act properly. So even though they never had the schus of learning Torah by themselves, they will be zoicha, says the Gra, because they observe and follow the way the Talmid Chachamim act, that they will be zoicha to bracha. The Chasam Sofer explains the Gemara, that the Gemara is going to teach us in a moment that there were three things that their name was changed after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And the Arava game became a Tziftzufa, and a Tziftzufa became an Arava. So he explains that what it means to teach us is that Arava represents, we know, those that don't have Ein Bei Tam Ve'Ein Bei Reach. They don't have Torah, they don't have Ma'asim Tovim. And people who are in that category should not be leading Klal Yisrael. They should be just on the sidelines. What happened, Michorva Abayis, that the Arava, those that are the lower class, became the Tziftzufa. They're the people that talk the most. They're the people that are the spokespeople of Klal Yisrael. They put themselves into the position of becoming leaders of Klal Yisrael. And the Tziftzufa, the people who should be the leaders and be the speakers and the spokespeople for Klal Yisrael, have become the Arava. Amale Abaya asks Abaya, "V'dim Purusha Kama Farish." Maybe the way to understand the pasuk is "Kach Amay Rabim." Take something that comes from the Mayim Rabim in my new tziftzufa, and the pasuk on the contrary is teaching us that the tziftzufa is what an Arava is. Answers the Gemara in Cain, my somoy. The pasuk says, kach amayim rabim tziftzufa. But the pasuk adding the word tzofam, somoy, it's coming to teach us that this is not the real arava. Amar avua.
Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ani Amati She Yisrael Fonai Kekoch Amayim Rabim, or Mai Niu Arava. I said the Klai Yisrael should be like the Arava. The same Asana Tzu Ketzitzah Fesh Baharim, but they're not acting. I said the Klai Yisrael should connect to Tamid Chachamim, and they're not doing that. Ikad Amasin L'Hai L'Alai Kro Amasnisim. They connect this to what we learned in the Braisa. The Pasuk says, Koch Amayim Rabim Tzitzah Fesh Baharim, and maybe it's tzitzifah may be used for a rova. And it says the Gemara, if that's what the pasuk would mean to say, as we learned a minute ago, im kain my somai. What does the pasuk add the word somai? Amar Rav Avuah, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ani Amati She Yisrael Ufonai Kekacha Mayim Rabim Umay Niu Arava. I want the Klai Yisrael to be compared to the Arava Vein Soma Atzim Som Ketzifa Shebaharim. Tana Bonan Eiz Arava Eiz Tzifzifa. Exactly which is the Arava and which is the Tzifzifa, says the Gemara. Arava Kona Shela Adam, its stem is red. And the Kapis Tamarim explains that it's not really red. It starts off green, but because it stays out in the sun, that's why it turns red. The leaves of the Arava are narrow and long, and they're smooth. But when we speak about the tziftzifa, its stem is white, and I saw that many poskim suggest that it's not a point that it's white. It's long, as long, any color is fine besides white. Veloshala ogul, and its leaves are round, not long and narrow. Opiya damal magal, and they're grooved, they're not smooth. And I saw that the Kabbalist Tamarim says the reason the Gemara brings all three of these different characteristics, different conditions of the tziftzifa is to teach us that, the Taisha says this, that only when it has all three disqualifications, is it considered a tziftzifa? If it doesn't have all three disqualifications, then it would not be considered a tziftzifa. Ask the Gemara that for Tanya, Doim Lamagal, if it looks like a groove, it matters what type of groove. If it looks like a sickle that has grooves that all go in one direction towards kosher, but if it has grooves that go in both directions, like a saw, it's pasul. So why are we saying that if it has grooves, it's pasul? Amar Abaya, ki tanya hi. What when the Braisa says that if it has grooves all going in one direction, it's kosher, b'chilfa gila. That's a different type of an arava. And there, if it has those types of grooves, it's pasul. When it says that if it has grooves in both directions, that's kosher. When it says that it has grooves in both directions, it's pasul. That's when it's a tziftzifa. Amar Abaya, so says Abaya, now we're learning that the chilfa gila has grooves in one direction, and because it has grooves in one direction, it's kosher. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, from here we see that Shema Mino, chilfa gila is considered a valid type of an arava, and it's kosh loishana. Ask the Gemara Peshitta, why should we think differently? Answers the Gemara, Manatei Mahoyel Ve'Islei Shem Levai, it's not called an arava, it's called a chilfagila, and we would think that the only thing that may be used for arava is something that's called arava, and therefore loinuskashala, the chilfagila, loinuskasha should not be usable for arava, kamash malon. Ask the Gemara Ve'Machanami, maybe indeed the halacha is that only what is arava, only what's in the group of arava may be used, nothing else. Says the Gemara, because the Torah uses the word arve, a loshen rabim, arve nachal, om rachmana, the Torah is teaching us mikom makim, any type of arava, even the chilfagila variety, is kosher. Om rav chizda, hanitiles mili, the following three things which the Gemara is now going to speak about, ishtani shemayu, the names have been changed from when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And Aruch HaNer explains the Gemara that we of course recognize that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, everything changed in Klal Yisrael. So the first thing we're going to learn is that the Rav and the Tziftzifot changed. And as the Chasam Sof explained, we said a few moments ago, that what was an Arava became that Arava, which always represented the least significant of the Dal Minim, Ein by Tam ve'Ein by Reach. Now, after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, they became the leaders. And the Shippura became the Chatzaitzra. The Shofar is bent. We know that we try to use a shofar Rosh Hashanah, which is bent. The chatzaitzros are straight. And what happened was, before the Churban, something which was like a shofar, people who were bent, people who were not in a leadership position, after the Churban Abayis, they became the chatzaitzros. They became the people who are the leaders of Klal Yisrael. And similarly, Psoira B'sartei, that before the Churban Abayis, Sorry, we're going to learn means a table. Before the Churban Abayis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Parnassah to the world through and because of Klal Yisrael. But after the Churban Abayis, things got reversed. And the Parnassah that comes to the world comes through the Umas HaOlam. And what was where we, Klal Yisrael, were the source of Bracha and Hatzlach in the world, was reversed, and now the Umas HaOlam are the source. So says the Gemara, as we just explained, Chilftob, which is the Tziftzifa, now is called an Arava. And was originally called the Arvasa, is now called the Arava. My nefgamina, why do we need to know? Lululav is now called Chilfta. Because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when you wanted to buy Aravas for your Dalaminim, you asked for Aravas. Bezmanazeh, what you're going to ask for is for Tziftzifa. Shipura, what was originally called a Shofar, is now called Chatzaitzra, and was originally called Chatzaitzra is now called a Shofar. Why? My nafgamina, the Shofar is the Rosh Hashanah. That what are we supposed to use on Rosh Hashanah? On Rosh Hashanah, we're supposed to use a Shofar. So if somebody's coming to the store to buy a Shofar for Rosh Hashanah, we should give him what we call a Chatzaitzra. What was originally called Psurta is now called Psoira, and was originally Psoira is now called Psurta. L'may nafkamina l'mecha chumemker. If somebody is coming to the store and he asks for Psoira or Psurta, we should know what he give him something else than what it's properly called. Then the deal is not a deal. You didn't give him what he purchased. And the Kapos Tamarim points out that this teretz that the Gemara just said, that nafkamina l'mecha chumemker, is a teretz that could have been said by Arava and Chilfata and Chatzaitzra and Shofar too. And in fact, says the Kapos Tamarim, that's why the Gemara left this teretz for the end. To say that this teretz that the Gemara just gave, this approach that the Gemara just suggested, applies by all other cases, but by Arava and Shofar, there are other nafkaminas as well. Furthermore, says the Kapos Tamarim, that if somebody were to say that we know when it comes to Dine Mominus, Hochen Achra Muchsik, we follow the person who's holding the property. So if the person says, you came and you bought from a person a Psurta, and Bismanazeb Psurta is a large table, and he says, no, I'm following its original definition, and its original definition was a small table. And I'm the Muchsik, I'm the seller, so I should win the Dintaira. Says the Kapos Tamarim that even though that is usually the halacha and Dine Mominus, suggest the Kapos Tamarim that if everybody uses a certain word how to describe something, you're saying, well, I didn't change and I'm going to follow the original way it's described is unacceptable. We have to follow the original. If everybody uses a type of wording, you can't say, well, I have a different way that I express myself. Amar Abaya. So Abaya says, Af ani Omer. I'll also say something. Bei Kasi, there are a number of stomachs in an animal. And the halach is that if there's a hole in an organ of an animal, the animal becomes a trefah. But there are different organs. Some organs have two layers. And if they have two layers, if there's a hole or there's a needle in one, it doesn't mean it's treif, because you have the other layer that protects it, and prevents it from becoming a treifa, since the hole doesn't go all the way through. If, however, it only has one layer and there's nothing else over there to protect the animal, then it becomes a treifa even by one layer. So, says the Gemara, Bei Kasi now is the Havlila, and the Havlila is now the Bei Kasi. L'may nafkumina, as we just explained, the Gemara Masechta Chulin daf Nun Amud teaches us, Machar nimtza ba'ovei Beis HaKosis. If the machet was found in the Beis HaKosis, since it has two layers, as we just explained, so if there's a needle that only went through one layer, the animal is not a treifa. So we need to know what is the Beis HaKosis. And what was originally called the Beis HaKosis is now called the Avlila. So if they say there's a needle in the Beis Kasi nowadays, the animal will be treif. If they say Bizman HaZed there's an animal in the Avlila, it will not be treif. Omer Rabbi Bar Yosef, af ani omer. I'll give another example. Bavel became Bursif. What was originally called Bavel is now Bursif. And what was originally Bursif is now called Bavel. Says the Gemara L'may Nafkamina. Why do we need to know this? Says the Gemara L'Gitti Nishim. The first Mishnah in Masechta the Gittin tells us that if somebody brings a get from Chutz L'Aretz to Yisrael, has to say B'fonei Nechta, B'fonei Nechtam. And the Gemara, at the beginning of Masechta Gittin, that Beis and Mabeis gives us two explanations. One explanation is, because one of the most fundamental halachas in Hilchas Gittin is that a get must be written l'shmo. And therefore, when a get comes from Chutz L'Aretz, we need to be concerned that maybe the people from Chutz L'Aretz are amiratzim and don't know that halacha, and therefore they have to say b'fani nechta b'fani nechtam. And by saying b'fani nechta b'fani nechtam, then we ask them, was the get written l'shmo? But that halacha is only when the get comes from Chutz L'Aretz. Bavel, they were b'nei Torah, they were Talmid Chachamim, and they knew the halacha of l'shmo, and therefore a get that came from Bavel, you did not have to say b'fani nechta b'fani nechtam. We could be confident that it was written l'shmo. That's one pshat in the Gemara Masechta Gittin. The other pshat is that if a get comes from Chutz L'Aretz, we have to be concerned that later on the husband may want to say that the get was not a valid get. And the way to make it valid is by having the edim, the witnesses who signed on the get, come and say, we signed. But the people didn't travel that much from Chutz L'Aretz to Eretz Yisrael. And we won't be able to find anybody to testify that this get was written properly. So that's why as soon as the get is delivered by the shliach from Chutz L'Aretz to Yisrael, he immediately says, b'fani nechta, b'fani nechtam. That is mekayim the get, that verifies the get. And therefore, even if somebody later on comes to say that the get is invalid, it's too late. But that's only when it comes from Chutz L'Aretz, because there weren't shiyaros metzuyos. There wasn't a lot of travel taking place from Chutz L'Aretz to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, we have a concern that if there's going to be any issue with the get, we won't have anybody who will be able to verify and authenticate the get. From Bavel, there were Talmid HaChachamim constantly traveling from the yeshivas from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael and from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. So we will be able to find Edim who can be Mekayim the get. And therefore, a get that came from Bavel, they did not have to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. And now we need to know which is Bavel and which is Bursus. Says the Mishnah, Rishmal teaches us regarding the mitzvah of Dalaminim and Sukkos, you need to take Shloisha Hadassim, three Hadassim, Shtei Arovas, Lulav Echad v'Esrog Echad. That's the amount that you're supposed to take. Vafilu Shnaim Ketumim, even if two of the hadassim have the head, the top of the hadassim cut off, echad enakotam, and one is not, the halacha is that it's kosher. Rav Tarfon Aimer, afilu shloshtam ketumim. Rav Tarfon's opinion is that even if all three have the top of the hadassim cut off, the halacha is that it's kosher. Because according to Rav Tarfon, there is no requirement that dasim should be hador. And therefore, since Reb Tarfon does not require that there should be hadar, even if they're all ketumim, the halacha is that they're kashim. The Rishonim debate, according to Reb Tarfon, does Reb Tarfon mean that you have to have three hadasim? He's just saying that the ketumim, or does Reb Tarfon not require three altogether? Rekiva disagrees, and he says the kshem shalulav echad. Just like we know, the halacha is you only have to have one lulav, esrig echad, and you only have one esrig. Kach hadas echad, we only need to have one hadas. And similarly, he says, v'kein arava achas, that the halacha is only one arava. And I, the Torah, says, arvi nachal. So we go back to the previous piece of Gemara, where the Gemara had many different limudim, how we know what we learn from arvi nachal. One, we learned to teach us that both types of aravas are kosher. Another pshat is coming to teach us that achad le dalaminim and achad le migdash. And it's not coming to teach us anything about the requirement that you have to have. It doesn't mean that you have to have two aravos. Tanya begins the Gemara. Rishmal Oimer. The Torah, when it speaks about the mitzvah of dalaminim, says v'lekach lechem b'yom rishon priyetz hod the kapis tamarim v'naf etz oves v'arvei nachal. Priyetz Hador is Esrig. It's coming to teach us Echad, that you take one Esrig. Kapis Tamarim. And the Torah, when it describes the Lulav, it says Kapis Tamarim without the Vav, Kapas, Kuf, Pei, Sof, not with the Vav in there, to teach us the one Lulav is enough. And even though the Farshim point out that Tosfos points out that throughout Shas there's a question: do we follow the Mesoris, the way it's written in the Chumash, or do we follow the way it's pronounced? Here, everybody follows the Mesoris, and everybody follows the way it's written. And since it's written Chaser, we learn from here that one lulav is what's used. Anaf Eitz Ovis. The Torah uses the word Anaf Eitz Ovis to teach us that you take three hadasim, and here Rav Shmuel explains, since the Torah, when it speaks about the Aravos, says it b'loshen Rabbim, it says Arve Nachal, to teach us that you take Shtayim, Afil Shnayim Ketumim, even if two of the Hadasim are Ketumim, Ve'echot Eina Kotim, and one is not Kotim, it's all going to be Kosher. Rav Tarfon Omer Shloisha, we should take three, Ve'afil Shloshen Ketumim, even if they're all Ketumim. Rav Kiva Omer Shem shalulav echad v'esrig echad, just like you take one lulav and one esrig, kach hadas echad v'arav achas. Amalei Rebbe Lezer, says Rebbe Lezer, yochel, I would think that it's not enough to tie the lulav and the adasim and the aravas together, but it would be required, she esrig imam, that the esrig should also be tied together with the other three, meaning v'agudu achas in one bundle. Amrit, how do we know that is not halacha? V'chi nema v'priyetz hod v'kapas tamarim. The Torah doesn't have the vav connecting the esrog from the leaf with the lulav. V'lay nema el kapos. The Torah says it without the vav. The Torah is teaching us that the lulav is kept separate. That the lulav is kept separate from the esrog, and the lulav is not tied together. But the Torah does say, after it speaks about the lulav, the Torah does say the vav of anaf etz ovis. The Torah does say the vav of the arvi nachal. What we learn from there is that although the esrig is not tied together with the other minim, but those three minim, the lulav, the adasim, and the aravis are all tied together. However, the Rikanti, a very famous Rikanti, says that even though, as we just learned explicitly in the Gemara, we know that the Esrog is not tied together with the other Minim, when we hold the Dalam Minim, we have to keep the Esrog right next to the Lulav. We shouldn't keep it separate. They're held in two separate hands, and there should be a separation between them. And the Rikanti says, the Soidze, this secret, Nigla Elai, was revealed to me the Chaloyim Belayel Yontav Rishon Shechag Sukkos, the first night of Sukkos. This Aschen Etzli Chosid Ashri Ashkenazi. He said, I had a guest on the first night of Sukkos, a Chosid Ashkenazi. His name was Reb Yitzchok, and I saw at night in a dream that this person was writing the Shem Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, and we know that Yudkei Vavkei is spelled Yudhei Vavhei, and he was writing Yudhei Vav, and then the last Hei he was separating, not putting together with the first three letters. And I went over to him, says the Rikanti, and I told him that, where did you get this? That when you write the Shem Hashem, you don't write all four letters together. And he told me, this is what they do where I come from. And I told him, Chas v'sholem, v'ani mechisi boy. I protested. And I told him that when somebody writes the same Hashem, he's supposed to write all four letters next to each other. And then he says, v'shtoim al amara v'ani mevin. He says, then I woke up and I didn't understand this dream. But he says, the next morning, when we came to shul, and I saw this Rabbi Yitzchak taking the Dal Minim, and I saw that he held in one hand the Lulav with Adasim Daravis, and in the other hand he held Esrig separated from the other Minim. So he said, that's what I understood. I understood what the dream meant. The dream meant to teach us that the Dal Minim are corresponding to the four letters of the Shem Hashem, Yudkei, Vavkei. And just like, as we just explained, when somebody writes the Shem Hashem, he has to keep all four letters together. So too, even though, as the Gemara just taught us, we don't tie the Esrig to the other three Minim, we're supposed to keep the Esrig next to the other three Minim, Chas v'Shalom, not when we hold them or carry them or shake them, should there be a separation. Says the Braisa further, Uminayim Akram Zem Zeh, that if you don't have all four minim, you weren't mekayim the mitzvah. Tameloimer, the pasuk says ulakachtem, and we learn it ulakach tam. That has to be a lekicha tama. They have to be all there. The Shulchan Aruch says that if you don't have all dal minim, you can't make a brocha. The Ramah says that if you have all dal minim, even though you didn't take them all at the same time, you picked up each min separately, but you had all four in front of you, then b'di'evid you can make a bracha and be mekayim the mitzvah. Rabbi Shmuel, that says, so we just learned in the Braisa, says that you have to have three hadasim. But he also said that if two of the hadasim are ketumim and one is not, and if two of them and one is not ketum, it's fine. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Manavshach, ish leimim bayi, if he requires three hadasim, so then he should bo, if then the aloch is the bayi kula, and a hadas is not considered a kosher hadas unless it's not katam. So then all three hadasim that the Torah requires us to use should have to be not katam. V'loy bayi shleimim, and if Rabbi Shmuel holds that katam is not a problem, afil chad namiloy, then even one hadas shouldn't have to be caught. It should be, all of them may be caught. Answers the Gemara, Amr B'Roy, Amr of Ami, Chosbar of Shmuel. This Rabbi Shmuel said that we need to have three hadasim. He reversed himself. And he says that you only need to have one. And since you only have to have one, so you yoytze the mitzvah with one, and that one that you must have may not be caught. That's why he says that if two are ketumim and one is not ketum, you yoytze the mitzvah with the one that you need to have. And therefore, even though you have two more that are ketumim, it doesn't bother me. Amr Rav Yehuda Shmuel, that the halacha is like Rav Tarfon. The Rav Tarfon says that hadas ketum is kosher. He's not concerned about ketumim. He says that that doesn't disqualify the hadas. V'az de Shmuel tamei. Shmuel would tell those people who would sell the adasim, Ashvu Vesbinu, sell the adasim for a reasonable price. Viloy, because if you're not going to sell them for a reasonable price, the Shinaluchu, I'm going to publicly say that the aloch is like Rav Tarfon. And once I'm going to say the aloch is like Rav Tarfon, any adas, to find a hadas that wasn't kotum was difficult. But to find a hadas that, so I'll just say that you could use a hadas that's katam, and therefore everybody will have no problem finding hadasim, and you won't be able to charge the exorbitant price. And l'chatchila, in other words, what the Gemara is teaching us, says Tosfos, is l'chatchila, even though we passing like Reb Tarfin, that ketumah kosher, there is a concept of hida mitzvah, of doing the mitzvah in the nicest way. And using a hadas, which is kotum, is not a hida mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, my tama. Let's understand what Shmuel is going to do. Ilema mishum the makel, so that Reb Tarfin is the makel, and therefore he says a kotum is okay, and I'm going to tell people a kotum is okay, and you won't be able to charge heavy, high prices for the hadassim, for the nice hadassim. So he could have said, if that's what he wants to do, literally, Reb Akiva the makel tfei. He could have said that the halacha is like Reb Akiva, who says that you only need one hadas. Answers the Gemara, t'losa k'tume shchicha. To say that he's going to pass like Reb Tarfin is a real kula, because to find hadasim that are not kotum is difficult. And therefore, if he's going to say that kotum is not a problem, they won't be able to get their price. Chad v'loy kotum, but to find, Reb Akiva indeed says one hadas is all that's required, but it's not going to be kotum. Any hadas which is not kotum is not so easily found. So we see from this Gemara that actually Shmuel paskined both like Reb Tarfin and like Reb Akiva, that ketumim are not a problem, mi'ikar hadin, and that you only need to take one hadas. But we see from here that even though Shmuel is paskining like Reb Akiva, that you only need to take one hadas, Shmuel at the same time was saying that if you take three hadas, that you could take three hadasim. So from here, the Paiskim say that by hadasim, there's no problem about Toysef. And that's why there are those that have a minig, that they take three, that they take nine hadasim. We're learning, in our Gemara, we learned that they didn't take more than three hadasim. We didn't see anybody take more than three hadasim. Just like Shmuel says, you could take three, even though you're only required to take one, he'll agree you could take nine instead of three, and that's why in certain circles, in certain places, the minig was to take nine hadasim.